the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Okay, we're back on the air. It's What Are You Reading comic book show. I really don't know what I'm going to do this week. I haven't had time to put up a preparation for the show, so I'm going to be winging it. It'd be easier to wing it if I got calls on Skype at SilverSurfer_forever, but... Whatever happens, the show will be done and finished between now and 6 o'clock or before that. And it's also, if you're listening today, there's more shows there on Rant EM Radio today because we're doing WWE coverage of No Mercy, pre and post show. The pre-show starts at 7, the post show be around 11-ish, depending on when the WWE get the act together and the show on time or not. Because sometimes they go a little short, sometimes they go a little long. But whatever happens, we will cover it. So, and I'll go over some news and give a couple reviews of Kingsman and my thoughts on a TV show I watched this week. And yeah, so yeah, that's it. It's the What Are You Reading comic book show. There's many ways you can listen. There's the live chat room at rantemradio.com. There's a TuneIn and Stitcher. Or if you're not listening live, but you do like to download, listen while you're on the go, there's iTunes and Podbean. And I will tell you about other shows here on this network later on. So, let's find out where the... box office numbers are first, because we do have a movie in the box office this week. Couple movies, actually. Number one this week, Kingsman, The Golden Circle, brought in $39 million over the weekend, had a budget of $104 million, overseas at another $61 million, so it's up to $100 million so far. Which means it's making its money back. Now, how much it makes here in the States, who knows? I mean, there are the statesmen in this one, the Kingsman, the Golden Circle, so maybe that'll add to it. Number three, the Lego Ninjago movie made $21 million. That's a surprise, if you ask me. I didn't see it. And overseas added $10 million for $31 million total worldwide. The reason why I'm surprised it made that much because Ninjago was a television brand that, had a TV show. But as far as, overall appeal for the family, I don't see where that would fall in. And it's more like a kids movie. And, of course, I guess because it was the only kids' movie out, it made some money. Then we moved down, and the closest thing is Spider-Man. barely hanging on at 11 with 1.1 million to its 331 million. And its worldwide total of 847 million. Now, I'm going to talk about Spider-Man Homecoming in a minute, too. So, here's my thoughts on Kingsman. The Golden Circle, their sequel to Kingsman. The Secret Service came out a couple years ago. Surprise hit based off a graphic novel, I think, by Mark Millar. Where this British spy service, gentleman, you know, keeping the crown and country safe. And about a hoodlum from the wrong side getting involved and becoming a Kingsman because of, you know, his father was one at one time, and one of the Kingsmen owed his father a debt, and he wanted to get the boy out of trouble. So, okay, where is, here we go. So, Taron Egerton returns as Exe, and now he's taking up the mantle of Galahad that was held by Colin Firth, Harry Hart, who supposedly died in the first one. And Mark Strong comes back as Merlin, and, you know, the Kingsman is rolling. And, in fact, Exe's life is so good, he has himself a girlfriend. From the last movie, you know, he met this Scandinavian princess, and he hooked up with her because he saved the world, and their guest was so good that they fell in love with each other. So they, like, dating and all, and she's hanging out with friends while they throwing birthday parties and stuff. This is a princess just out in the neighborhood, just hanging out. And he's living in Harry's home and everything. He got his little dog. Everything's good. You know, he got his best friend on the service from the girl that survived from last year, and also, I mean, the last movie. But it couldn't last for long because the Kingsman comes under attack from the Golden Circle, run by Poppy Anderson, played by Julianne Moore. And she's this international drug dealer. She's like the biggest drug dealer in the world. She's diversified. She sells every type of drug you can believe, but of course it's all illegal, so she has to stay hidden and secluded. But she knows about the Kingsman because the guy named Charlie, who was trying to become a Kingsman in the first movie, but of course he failed because he's just a scumbag. Now he's back working for her, so he probably hit to the Kingsman. They take them out, but Exe, the only reason why he didn't get killed with the rest of them, because he wasn't home. And Merlin didn't get killed because he's not even considered like an agent. He's just hired help. So they don't even list the hired help addresses on the database. So they never knew where he lived or who he was. So now what are they going to do? It's only two of them. They only know who attacked them, what to do. All they know is the protocol. Go to this place, and there's a doomsday protocol, which they discover is a bottle of Kentucky Scotch. The brand is called Statesman. And then once they figure out that this whiskey is a clue that, you know, to go to the States, there's like a organization there that's tied to them called the Statesman. They go to get the help. And, you know, the Statesmen are, you know, they're American. But now they're not any kind of American. They redneck country Americans, cowboys and stuff. That's the theme they go on. And just like with the Kingsmen, their front was they were tailors. The front for the Statesmen is they're alcohol distillers, you know. I guess in this world, the Kingsman whiskey is like probably one of the biggest brands in the world. So they get the help to take on this golden circle, and it takes me a second to remember that Julianne Moore's plan to make herself legit as a drug dealer, and she's like, I guess like in this world, if you're a bad guy, you're not only bad, but you're also crazy. In her case, she's crazy where, because she's living secluded in some ruins in Cambodia or Colombia, somewhere like that. And she can't, like, go out in the world because, you know, of course, she get arrested. She had brought a piece of the world to her in a way of building a 50s-style, like, amusement park, almost. Where, because that's what she grew up on, and that's what she's enamored with. And then also they find out that, and this is no spoiler because it's in the commercials, that Harry Hart is still alive. You know, you thought when he was shot in the head, he was just dead. And they assume that because who gets up from a headshot? But then they explain what happened where, you know, when he did get shot, it was on American soil. And the statesmen find out something was going on, so they rush to the scene. They just get there like seconds after he's shot in the head, and they have protocols to, if you know, agent takes a headshot so they can, you know, save them. And they save Harry, but he doesn't have his memories. And then when he gets his memories, he's not fully the agent you remember. And it's taking time for everything to reboot for himself. So you don't know where, if he's going to mess things up or not as he goes out in the field. And then, of course, you know, now as far as the statesman, you have Channing Tatum. He's a... what was he? I can't think of his code name. Maybe I'll see you in a second. Tequila. And you got Whiskey, played by... Pedro Pascal. And then Jeff Bridges, he's Champ, because that's short for Champagne. And then Halle Berry, she plays like the Merlin role. She's Ginger. I don't know how ginger is any kind of alcohol. But anyway, they have to team up. But, you know, you never know when you're dealing with spies. Who's a good guy, who's a bad guy? So that comes into factor, too. Now, this movie's not getting the high marks that the original's getting. Some people think this one may be too silly. I didn't think that. I thought it was... I had fun watching it. It's a little long, almost 2.5 hours. But, you know, I thought it stayed with the reality of this world where, you know, agents have these crazy gadgets and, you know, you get trained to do things that the average person can't do to defy gravity or defy logic. But it's fun. Now, of course, this movie is not based on a graphic novel per se, like the original one was. So they kind of making this one up. But I still enjoyed it enough. I would say it's a rental, not a rental, a matinee. At least you should go see this one if you enjoyed the first one. I don't see why you wouldn't enjoy this one. And it's and you know, of course, everybody's talking about Elton John's role in this movie, and you know, he has some funny scenes, and you know, I can't hit on the movie. So that's my thoughts on Kingsman: The Golden Circle. Of course, now I'm waiting for Thor: Ragnarok. I'm going to be banging down doors to get tickets for that one. Anyway, let's see. Where are we? As far as news. Anybody calling in yet? Yes. You're talking about I'm talking to chat room people. You're talking about Matthew Vaughn. Yes, he came back to direct The Golden Circle. Which, I don't think he directed Kick-Ass 2. Usually he doesn't come back for sequels, but he came back for this one. I don't know if he was forced to or he wanted to. And more than likely, we're going to have a third one, so buckle up, people. Maybe some will jump off the train, some won't. Yeah, let me talk about some news. And we'll close the browser up. There is a fourth Powerpuff Girl, people. Bliss! Says here, less than 2 weeks after shaking up Townsville with the news of a fourth Powerpuff Girl Cartoon Network introduced fans to Bliss on Sunday. In a five-part movie event, the Powerpuff Girls, the Power of Four, Powerpuff Girls Girl reboot renewed for a second season, initially thought it to be Bubbles' imaginary friend, Blistina, Bliss for short, is later revealed to be a Powerpuff Girl, the Powerpuff Girls' older sister. The results of the Professor Plutonium's earlier attempt to create a perfect little girl by accidentally combining sugar and spice and everything nice with chemical W rather than X. W. So years before Blossom, Bubbles, and Buttercup was created, Professor Plutonium raised Bliss only discovered that whenever she became angry, excited, or frightened, she lost control of her powers with explosive and destructive results. During the one tantrum, the blue-haired Bliss blew up the house and then, dismayed by her own actions, fled Townsville. In the Power of Four, she returned from self-imposed exile to live with her family. Isn't that sweet? And I missed it. I gotta look for it now. Maybe this new Powerpuff Girl reboot is worth looking at. For a new, you know, with them adding a new older Powerpuff Girl. And I hope they don't do one of those things where she's there now, but she's going to become the enemy. Because then that's going to piss me off. Now, I don't know if y'all saw it, but the Nerdist put out a Thor Ragnarok trailer. Done in the 80s. With cheesy music and special effects and so on. And if you haven't seen it, let me show you. If you're live in the chat room, I'm going to put it in the, put a link. You can look at it. So. And you hit go. Oh, man, I'm burning up. I can't turn my fan on because the air will go into the mic. Man, let me try to turn it on a little bit and on low. If you're listening in the chat room, you can hear the fan, let me know. I'll turn it off again. Also, Netflix dropped an official trailer for The Punisher this week. So, you know. That probably will come out after New York Comic Con. Because they'll want to talk about it and show the first episode at New York Comic Con. And, of course, they'll probably talk about the other seasons of Netflix shows coming up. So, but I'm excited to see when The Punisher comes out. See if they get it right, you know, nice and violent and bloody. Now, I have talked in the past that them doing a Watchmen miniseries. And, of course, some people thought that Watchmen should have always been a miniseries and not a movie. Well, now, HBO ordered a pilot and commissions additional scripts for The Watchmen for HBO. It says, yesterday, pre-production on HBO Watchmen series seemed to have commenced, but now it's official. The Hollywood Reporter reports that HBO has ordered a pilot for Watchmen. What's more, the network has commissioned additional scripts for Damian Lindelof to take on Alan Moore's and David Gibson's seminal graphic novel. It was only July when Lindelof cast doubts on his involvement in the Watchmen series, revealing that he's scared of not doing the source material justice. It's been very, very vocal about my love for these 12 issues that they have completely and totally inspired for all storytelling that I did subsequently and that I owe a debt to it. So, as you know, Alan Moore, who knows what he's thinking at the time. He don't want to be involved with nothing with his name on it. He don't want no credit. He don't want nobody to touch his stuff. And anyway, but hey, maybe the people that didn't like the movie may like the miniseries. Who knows? Kelly in the chat room. What up, mate? The trailer came out and a poster for Wes Anderson's latest stop-motion anime feature, Isles of Dogs. And a Peter Rabbit trailer came out from Sony Pictures. Also, photos came out of Angelina Lilly, who's going to be playing the Wasp, and Ant-Man and the Wasp came out with her in her Wasp costume. You know, her costume is done in black as opposed to the red that usually the Wasp wears in the comic. And there's another picture of a helmet on and everything. It's not much that I'm going to read about that story because it's just image of her costume. And once more come out, then I'll talk to you about it. And here's something that may make people celebrate and other people may cry. I don't know what category you fall in. I'm in neither. But The Inhumans may already have been canceled. Even though it has not appeared on ABC television, this may be a one and done for the royal family. Of course, is it this weekend? No, is it this next Friday or the Friday after that? The Inhumans will debut. But, you know, the bad word from it being shown in IMAX and all, people disliking it. It looks like they may not give the rest of the series a chance, and it may not get any more seasons. Now I'm in the camp, but I'd rather wait and see what the other episodes look like, because the pilots can look bad, but then, you know, when they have more time to work on the rest of the season, it can turn out better. Now, that might not be the case with the Inhumans, but yeah, it is. The first episode will be on September 9th, which is a Friday on ABC, and I believe it's 8 episodes, so buckle up, and I say at least, if you didn't see it in IMAX, don't just watch the first episode and then walk away from it. Give it a couple more episodes before you decide whether you think it's garbage or not. Because like I said, you never know what the rest of the episodes look like compared to the pilot. Let's see. I think I'm almost out of stories. So Marvel director wants Lucasfilms to release the original Star Wars cut. A lot of y'all didn't see that because I've only seen the special editions. Peyton Reed, who's working on the Ant-Man and the Wasp, is now publicly begging Disney and Lucasfilm to release the original of the 1977-83 Star Wars trilogy on Blu-ray. Note says, "Dear Lucasfilm, please release a Blu-ray of the original unmessed with version of Star Wars that I loved when I was 13. Thanks, Peyton." This was on Twitter. It says, "Famously, George Lucas, the original writer and director of Star Wars, is intent on never re-releasing his original versions of A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. It would take a lot of convincing on Disney's part to get Lucas to give a re-release his blessing, which is extremely unlikely as the legendary helmet views his updated version as superior to what came before. Whether or not the original theatrical cuts of the original Star Wars trilogy will ever be seen in the light of day is truly one of the galaxy's greatest mysteries." Oh, man. Well, people, maybe George Lucas don't have long. So, you know, once he's gone, there's nobody to get in the way of those original cuts. It should have been around in 1977 and seen in the theater like I was. You wouldn't have had this problem. It's not my fault you decided to be born in the 90s or the early 2000s or the late 80s. I was born before 77, so I got to see him in the theater. Original cuts. Sucks to be you. Anyway. Spider-Man. That's whatever. Oh, you know, I've been watching the new Spider-Man anime series. And I have to say, it's much better than Ultimate Spider-Man. It's not into the... Like, the Ultimate Spider-Man that came out, there was more, like, trying to make it for the 9-10-year-olds where they was doing these silly, like, pop-up thought bubbles and, you know, he's trying to make a decision, an Angel Spider-Man, a Double Spider-Man pops up trying to tell him what to do. And then they tried to improve it, but it was a little too late when they got away from that. So now this new version of Spider-Man, it's supposed to be more closely based off the Spider-Man Homecoming. You know, Peter's a teenager. You know, he got his buddy Harry. But he doesn't go to the normal high school. He goes to a special magnet program where all these smart people, Gwen Stacy's going to the school, and Liz Allen, and there's even Miles Morales going to the school. And it's in competition with Norman Osborn. He opened a school for his son Harry because you know, Harry was kicked out of school, you know, he was set up to done something wrong. So Norman's like, I'll start my own school. And there is a midterm high because Flash isn't smart enough to go to any of these smart schools, so he has to go to school somewhere. And they just introduced Flash a couple of episodes ago where he's not the total bully he normally is. He does see Peter and he gives him the noogie and everything. But, of course, he do have the hard-on for Spider-Man. But the one thing I have to say I like about this version of Spider-Man, it was more that was more like the Spectacular Spider-Man. There's a progression of the story. It's not just random episodes. Ultimate Spider-Man was just random episodes. And later on down the line, they was doing episodes that were done in order. But early on, they didn't think they had to do that. They just, oh, Spider-Man shows up, he fights a villain, that's it. Now, you know, there's been this ongoing thread about Norman doing dirty, underhanded stuff, and these other criminal, smart people trying to get involved, and Spider Slayers showing up, and people trying to steal each other texts, and Spider-Man caught in the middle. And they just did over last weekend. They did a Venom story, you know, because the symbiont is there. And Spider-Man was running around with the symbiont for a while. And now Norman and everybody else trying to get their hands on it. And then this last episode, Miles Morales gets bit by a spider. And now he has spider powers. So now there's two Spider-Men. And we'll see how the rest of the season goes. But I'm liking what I'm seeing. You know, they're putting a little effort into it now. I guess they learned from their mistakes from Ultimate Spider-Man. And they're not throwing in characters just to throw them in. Like, with Ultimate Spider-Man, they put in, like, Luke Cage and Iron Fist and all these other people. They made them teenagers, and that just didn't seem right. Anyway, so the story I was going to get into with Spider-Man, I don't know why I just closed it up. Because I get on a rant, and now I got to reopen the page. Spider-Man Homecoming. The highest grossing superhero movie of 2017. So, Spider-Man is over 800 million worldwide, but just passed Wonder Woman for the biggest comic book movie this year so far. And the movie is beating out Logan and Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And we'll see what Thor, Ragnarok, and Justice League do, not let alone... Actually, none of that's going to matter, because we all know that The Last Jedi is going to just blow everything out the door. It's going to probably be the highest grossing film of the year, let alone comic related movie. Now that's not a superhero movie, but it is a comic related movie. And yes, I say that because the comic book was released before the movie. I know a lot of you may not have known that, but the comic book for Star Wars got released in stores before the movie was released in the theaters. So, and it's always going to be a comic book property in my book. And the Star Wars books have been selling great for years, so why deny it? Now, I don't know if any of you have been watching The Orville, which is the Seth MacFarlane TV show, where it's, you know, like a, it's kind of like the Star Trek, but it's not, and it's somebody put it to me, they look at it as a work office comedy, and some people are digging it, and some people aren't, and I think the people who aren't digging it is because the comedy is not as crazy as, say, like Family Guy is. But when you, from what I'm noticing, it's being done straightforward with a little goofiness thrown in. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, because this last episode came on Thursday. It was an ethical issue involved. Now, let me bring up the guy's name. Just give me a second, because I had it and I had to change the page. And there we go. So the, you know, on the Orville, you know, Seth MacFarlane's special officer. What is his name? Lieutenant. I can't find it. Oh, come on. Don't do this to me. This will work. So he played, his second officer's name, Lieutenant Commander Bordis. And he's, you know, aliens, kind of like the Klingon on board and everything. And the deal with him is his entire race are males. There's no females in their civilization. Everybody's born male because they're all born from eggs. Well, the second episode, Commander Bordis laid an egg. So he needed time off to sit on the egg so it can hatch. And at the end of the episode, it hatched. And they were expecting him and his mate, who was also the same, you know, male race, was expecting a baby boy, and it turned out they had a baby girl. So this episode starts, and all everybody from the crew, they all, oh, look at, she's so cute, blah blah blah, okay, congratulations, we'll see you later. And then they're like, yeah, we got to get it done. So the thing was, they wanted the baby to have surgery to get it changed, have his gender changed to a male, because supposedly females are rare, and it's considered a genetic deformity. And so if a female is born, they have it surgically changed to a male. And so first he wanted the doctor on ship to do it, because you know, it was going to take a while for them to get to their home planet. She said, no, she can't do that. It's unethical. You know, I'm not changing the gender of a child aboard my ship. So then he tried to get the captain to force it, and he's like, I can't force the doctor to do something. So he's doing what he thinks that is right, him and his mate. And, you know, they called their home planet for a ship to come get them. So the ship is coming, and it's like, why would you call for a ship? And, you know, they're part of the union. Because, you know, if the ship comes and asks for the baby and they don't handle the baby, is the ship going to fire on the Orville? I mean, they're both union ships. It's not like, you know, this is another organization or species coming. You know, it's like one ship in the Federation shouldn't be firing on another ship in the Federation. So in this union, that doesn't happen. So that's going to put them in a crazy situation. And, you know, so people are trying to convince the lieutenant, you know, they he shouldn't do this, and like the off the security officer is a woman. She's kind of like a Vulcan in a way, and she's super strong, and she's trying to show, you know, women can do this too. And then, but the funny part was the two helmsmen come by with a movie, and it's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And so the lieutenant gets the epiphany, like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't change this child's gender. So he changes his mind, but the mate does not. So now it leaves them in a legal situation of whether or not, you know, the child should remain female or not. So they go to arbitration. And, you know, everybody's against this child staying female. But it turns out the lieutenant's mate was born a female also, and the parents had him changed, but he didn't know it until the ship's doctor gave him an examination. And it seems like one of the hidden secrets is that there's more females being born than you realize, but as soon as they're born, they just change to male, which it's kind of crazy in a way, because it could have, you know, you could have had half a female population by now if they weren't all changing to male and keeping it a secret. And then the crew of the Orville finds this one woman living out in seclusion, because when she was born, her parents didn't want to get her the operation. They took her to live in a cave, and it turns out she's just the world's greatest writer. And everybody's been reading her works for years, thinking it was some guy, and it turned out to be a woman. And you think, well, after this, there's no way they're going to change the child's gender. And they go off and come back with a decision. We're taking the baby and changing the gender. And they do. And they give the baby back as a boy. And the one guy's kind of hurt, but he's like, all right, we got to make sure this child is raised up to be happy. And I thought it was interesting, because usually a show like that, in the end, the guy would have won and they would have kept even in some cases they would have said, we're going to change the gender, but then something would have happened to change for them to change their mind, and then it wouldn't have happened. But in this case, they just like took the child, changed the gender, gave it back to him as a boy, and the episode ended. And I thought it was interesting that they would go down that path of, you know, the dilemma of this situation, and have resolved in what would you consider a negative way, because the guy didn't get to keep his child as a female. So I would say, if you watched the first episode and then you haven't watched it since, I would say you should come back and revisit the Orville, because you need to look at it different. You don't need to look at it as some slapstick comedy, but, you know, I can't force you to do anything you don't want to do. And then the other show I'm going to talk about before I wrap it up, Gotham came on this week, and the Dark Boy is rising. Yes, young Bruce Wayne, he's around 16 now, he's going out at night wearing a mask, kicking criminals' asses, because that's his mission now. Because last year he met Ra's al Ghul, and Ra's al Ghul put him on the path of saving the city. And the only way he knows how is to go out at night and beat people with his bare hands. And he's doing this so the hopes that Ra's al Ghul will return. Even though Ra's al Ghul has never left, because there was a scene where Ra's is standing around watching him from afar, you know. Meanwhile, you know, Commissioner Gordon and the GCPD, they're dealing with a new situation, because Penguin helped save the city from total destruction last season. Now, as the top boss of the underworld again, he's giving out licenses to do crime. And he told the mayor and the commissioner, look, if your cops come across somebody committing a crime and they have a license, they need to walk away. Now, Gordon comes across a guy robbing his favorite bar, and dude's like, I got a license. Gordon don't care, because at this point, he doesn't know anything about it. And then, you know, Bullock's like, yeah, we got to play ball. And Bruce comes across one as he's beating up criminals. So now he's trying to investigate what's going on. And the Penguin, he's opening up his new club, the Ice Castle or something. The one he has in the comics. And he has the Riddler on display, frozen in ice, and he's telling people, yeah, you know, he had a disease and we had to freeze him, but once the cure is found, we'll unfreeze him. And also, okay, the third storyline is the Scarecrow. Last year, there was Jonathan Crane and his crazy father who was working on the fear toxin. And Jonathan Crane, he's kind of young. He knows how to make the fear toxin. And so these criminals who don't want to work under the Penguin, they get Jonathan Crane out of the hospital to have them make his fear toxin. And they're trying to use it to take on the Penguin. But they've unleashed the real Scarecrow on Gotham City now. And he has the toxin. And he's dressed up like the Scarecrow. So those are the three storylines so far. Bruce going out at night trying to whip ass. And next week he's supposed to get kind of like a protective uniform from Lucius Fox, so he don't get hurt, because it's not like he's using a bat utility belt. And, you know, of course, Crane's going to be on the loose, and the Penguin, he's as nutty as ever. And that's Gotham so far. Oh, look, it's almost 5:45, so I'm going to tell y'all about, since no one's called in, again, it's like nobody wants to call in during football season. Let's see. What's in the chat room? They don't do Star Trek spoof series that flopped before. Didn't they do a Star Trek before? Red Shirts or something? I don't remember a show called Red Shirts. If it did, I didn't see it. You talking about modernized? They are doing a modernized movie. It's gonna be animated. So you're behind on that one, Stanley. Stanley Kubrick, everybody, give him a hand. He's always in the chat room every week. He's hiding somewhere in Europe. He's on Interpol's most wanted. So if you see him, yeah, turn him in. You can get a big reward. Stanley Kubrick. All right, so let me tell you what's coming on this week. Well, I told you about the WWE No Mercy pay-per-view. Well, we're doing a pre and post show here live. The pre-show's at 7 p.m. So don't miss it. And then tomorrow at 11:15 is the sports report. You know, they'll go over the football and every other sport event that went on this week. Mostly probably football, since it is football season. There's been some hella games today so far. Some upsets. Some teams looking better than they have last year. Tuesday, doubleheader. 7 p.m., Shining Wizards. And then at 9 p.m., The Rant. Thursday, Rant and Wrestling at 9. Fridays, Turnbuckle Throwbacks at 9. And then I think I'll be back next week. I won't be on one of these weekends coming up in October, because Comic-Con, I believe that's to be on the 8th. Anyway. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's SilverSurfer4FOR. And if you want to follow the Facebook page, look for the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show. They all keep you up to date with news throughout the week. And still looking for a co-host, so somebody that's compatible with me, gonna follow orders and do what I tell them to do. Not get insubordinate. Got to be loyal like Trump says. Oh God, I can't believe I just said that. Oh, the Bengals are winning? That's football, people. Anyway, I appreciate y'all listening live. The 1.5 people that were listening today. And I always appreciate people who listen on the download. At least I feel like I'm not doing this for nothing. All right, so you'll be here. If you're a wrestling fan, you'll be hearing from me pretty soon. But if you're only here for the comic books, I'll see you next week. Peace.